It's good to be with you this morning, this Mother's Day. Encourage you, if you are able, to contact your mom. Give her a call if you can't see her in person. Or if you're not able to do that, spend the day taking some time to remember your mom. My mom had a lot of difficulty in her life, and she dealt with a lot of that through humor. And when I remember my mom, I think about the many times that I was able to laugh with her. So I encourage you, either find a way to contact, spend time with your mom, or be with loved ones and remember her and how much she means to you. This morning, I want to look at the prayer of a mother, the mother of Jesus, Mary. And I was just thinking before I came up here to speak, can you imagine being the half-brothers and sisters of Jesus? He never got in trouble. It'd be rough. But anyway, I want to look at this prayer of Mary. It's in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39 through 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her and will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's pray. Father, thank You for another opportunity to worship You, and Father, to join corporately, even though we're not in the same room, we join hearts as we worship You, the One who gives us hope, the One who gives us life. And Father, we just pray that You would encourage us through Your Word. Thank You for an opportunity to sing and worship in full hearts to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Boy, the difficulty of a mom is hard. It's hard to understand. My patience is so limited when I think about how my wife was able to deal with four children. And someone has written a little piece here I want to share with you. It's called "The Profile of a Mother." Listen to this. A mother appears to be a normal human being. She has all of the normal features people have. Two eyes, two hands, two arms, two hands, two feet, all connected to one body. Now that's what you see if you just look at the exterior of a mother. If you were ever a child, you would know she has at least three eyes. That is three sets of eyes. Two in the front, two in the back, so she can see all those things she must see but are hidden from her. And one on each side of her head so she can protect the cookie jar no matter where she stands in the kitchen. All are capable of seeing through wood and plaster so she can tell what is going on behind closed doors. And she has bionic ears. She can hear a dirty word whispered a block away. She can hear a complaint that is only thought when unpleasant tasks are assigned to her kids. With many arms and hands, she can prepare a meal, find dad's shirt, change a diaper, run the vacuum cleaner, spank two kids, all at the same time. With strong, fast legs, she can move about the house like a speeding bullet. She patrols the streets, stops a fight in the backyard, stops a tennis ball before it's flushed down the toilet, and prevents a child from falling out of a tree, and moves all the toys out of the driveway before Dad gets home, all at the same time. Her endless supply of energy can only be a God-given attribute. She is first to rise in the morning, has breakfast ready for the brood as soon as they get up. She gets both children ready as if she were a barber, a beautician, a fashion consultant, a chairman, a budget director, a paramedic, a mechanic, a veterinarian, a travel agent, an interpreter, an interior decorator, and is the last to bed at night. I wonder why. With a tender kiss, she can heal everything from a cut finger to a broken heart. With a kiss, she can convince a 50-year-old balding man he is just as handsome as he ever was. Her ability to love is only exceeded by God's love itself. Her love grows with her children, and it is impossible to tell the success or failure of her children by her love. There are no depths by which her children can fall, or heights of success her child can reach that will increase her love. Her love is protective, tender, consistent, understanding, forgiving, unchanging, giving, contagious, comfortable, and everlasting. The nearest thing to God's love is a mother's love. Mothers are quite amazing. As we look at Mary's prayer this morning, we learn a lot from the prayers of a person. Someone has said that prayer is like a window to the soul, to the heart. And so when you pray with someone, it allows you to see their love for God and their love for others. Matter of fact, I think back through my life, and I have to admit, some of the people I've grown closest to, I was able to spend time praying with them through the years. And even now, there's a group of guys I've joined a couple of times that met here at the church. They meet here all the time. I've come a few times, and I've already grown closer to them just to hear them pray. It's a beautiful thing to hear a person to pray and to pray with them. And what a joy I've been able to for years. Cindy and I, we get up in the morning and we pray together, and it's one of my favorite times of the day to be able to pray with her. It certainly draws you closer together when you pray with someone. I encourage families, I encourage you, husbands, wives, pray together. It'll bring you closer. And families, children, come together, take a little time to pray. It's amazing how it draws you closer together to spend time in prayer. As we look at this section of Scripture, it had been 400 years since a prophet spoke. It was a time of silence, a time of quiet. The prophet Amos prophesied about this. He said in Amos 8:11, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." There were 400 years without the voice of a prophet, and people were desperate to hear from the Lord. Every girl was expectant, hopeful to be the mother of the Messiah who would come and who would free the people and who would bring hope as they were persecuted and oppressed and desperate. And Mary was the chosen one. She was the one that God specifically picked. Gabriel was a very busy angel, as we discover in Luke. He comes before Zechariah, the priest, and he says, "Hey, Zechariah, you're going to be a dad. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child." And he's like, "I'm really too old for this kind of thing. Are you sure about that?" And as a result of that, he lost his voice and was not able to speak again until the baby was about to be, or the baby was set aside and in the temple. And at that time, they asked, "What's the baby's name to be?" And his wife said, "John." And everybody's like, "John? Nobody in your family is named John. I thought he'd be Zechariah Jr." But he wrote down the name John. And when he did, he was able to talk. And John means Yahweh has given. And that was John's role. He spent his life pointing to the one Yahweh has given, Jesus Christ. He says, don't look at me, look at Him. I'm not worthy to untie His shoes. He must become greater, I must become less. But the angel Gabriel not only appeared to Zechariah, he also appeared to Mary, and he gave her the news. He said, you are the one chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. What an amazing privilege. And also, the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph. He was having his doubts. Mary was probably somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. And in those days, you did not choose who you were going to marry. Marriages were chosen when they were children. And you were considered married if you decided at some point as you grew up, as you grew older, hey, I'm not going to marry that ugly thing. Well, the only way to do it was to get a divorce, because you were considered already bound together in a covenant. It was an engagement, but it was still stronger than merely what we consider an engagement. So it was at this time they were chosen together. They were not married. They had not been together physically, intimately. And so it was a difficult time. And I'm sure they were saying, hey, you know, we're about to get married, and but she's a virgin. It's looking at Mary's belly going, oh, yeah, right, Joseph. You're right. I'm sure they took some difficulty in that. But through all of that, Mary was trusting God. And she showed her trust to God. I want to break down this prayer in the time that remains, just 3 points here. The first is that in this prayer, we see her heart. She was a person who looked for the blessings of God, who sought to be thankful. Verse 46, she says, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Too often we think of prayer as just an opportunity to run to God when we're hurting and say, God, I have a solution. I want you to stamp this with my answer and we'll be done with this. I'll talk to you when I have another difficulty. But prayer is so much more than that. It is an opportunity to dialogue with a living God, to listen and also to speak with Him. And the way to speak to Him is to realize that every blessing we have, it's from Him. And so we should be grateful, not for what we don't have, but for what we do have. And even in the difficulties, we need to understand that He has not abandoned us, but that He is still there with us. David was a great example of this. And the Psalms, those old songs that he wrote, he would speak about difficulties, but somehow he would always come back with praise, and he would come back with worship. Alexander White was a Scottish preacher of another generation, and he was known for his positive outlook, no matter the difficulties. And one day, the people had gathered at church, and everybody thought, what will the preacher say that is uplifting this morning? What can he say that is positive, considering the horrible weather outside? So he got up and Alexander White prayed and he said, dear Lord, I thank you that there aren't many days like this. And you know, what a great practice. Even when we're at our lowest, to be able to say, thank you God that it will not always be like this. That change is around the corner and so is your blessing. As we read in our text, Mary came to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said, hey, blessed are you among women, Mary. Why would you choose to come see me? Why would you come here? And she didn't say, hey, you're right, I'm it. God chose me, woman of the year, put me on the covers of all the periodicals. She didn't say any of that. Her response in verse 48, she says, He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will say, blessed. She was able to see the greatness of God instead of merely herself. She said in verse 52, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." You know, as you think about birds, normally the big birds, you don't want to hear them sing. Ostriches, penguins, turkeys, not good on the ears. But the small birds, the wrens and the blue jays and the larks, they're the ones that make the music, the beautiful music. And so it is with God's people, the ones who don't have too high an estimate of themselves, but place their confidence in the Lord. They're the ones who show the beauty of the Lord. All right, secondly, I want us to see this shows her concept of God, what she thought of God. Verse 49, she says, "The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." There are the skeptics that would say, "Now, wait a minute, Mary's a virgin. How could she have a child? That makes absolutely no sense. That goes against all the laws of science, and that could not happen." But the truth of the matter is, we're talking about God. How can we put limits on God? He is the one who made everything. He's the one that created everything. In Jeremiah 32:17, he says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." You know, we have a headache and we say, "God, take away my headache." And we believe He will take away the headache. But then we look at what is called an incurable disease. And suddenly there's limitations. "God, you can't do this." God is big enough. God is able in all circumstances. Luke 1:37. I know in the NIV here, Mary in her response, she said, "Lord, your word never fails." But I love what it says in the Amplified. And you always make fun of this because I know I'm getting older. I used to always say the Amplified translation, but now they call it the Amplified Classic. So I must be a classic now. But anyway, Luke 1:37 in the Amplified, the classic, he says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." There's no such thing as impossible for God. There is nothing too big for Him to handle. Nothing that is out of His reach. And Mary understood that as she talked and responded to the living God. She said, "Thank you, Lord. I believe you. If you said it, then I can bet on it. I can place my confidence fully there." Our view of God makes all the difference in how effective our praying is. If we see a God that's too small or is too limited, then our confidence in God, He will not respond. Thirdly, her relationship with God was certainly intimate. Verse 47, she said, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She spoke personally of the Lord. He's not the Lord, He's my Lord. There is certainly a sense where the Church of Jesus Christ gathers all over the world, and we are connected by the power of the cross and the resurrection and what Jesus has accomplished and by receiving Him into our lives. But that happens personally before it becomes corporately. And we have to give our hearts to Him. You know, this made me think about, in the Baptist tradition, we have what we call baby dedications. And in other traditions of faith, they have what they call infant baptism. And the picture of infant baptism is that a baby is baptized, and by being baptized, that baby receives salvation and is welcomed into the community of faith and will be protected until a time they call confirmation, where they're able to confirm their faith at an age. We believe in the Baptist tradition and faith, what we call an age of accountability, is that until a child reaches a certain age where that child is able to make his or her own decision for God, that there is an innocence, that they are safe with God, because this is all about, will I follow God or will I reject God? But when we have a baby dedication, it's not like infant baptism. It's really not like, hey, we're going to make sure that our baby goes to heaven if something happens and my child dies. That's not the point. In a baby dedication, really, it's the parents who are making the dedication. It is the parents who are pledging their faith. And what they are saying is, I want to be there for my child. Day after day, I want my child to see Jesus in us. I want to be that example. I want to live for Christ. I want to point toward Christ so that when the time comes, when that understanding is available, my child will have seen what it means to be a Christian and want to follow Christ. And so the dedication, it really should be called parent dedication instead of child dedication, because really it's about the parents saying to the people of God, the congregation, for the sake of my child, I want to be real and genuine in Christ. And I'm saying this before you as witnesses so that you can help me stay true to this commitment. It's a personal commitment. And really, that's a call for all of us. And Mary is a great example of this. She's saying, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And I want you to be in control. If this is what you want of me, Lord, give me strength to be faithful, to be obedient. Matter of fact, it's interesting. The prayer here has over 15 quotations from the Old Testament. Obviously, Mary knew the Scripture. In verse 54, it says, He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. Next verse, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Just as He promised our ancestors, He has helped His servant Israel. She's remembering the promise that was to Abraham. And she also speaks from the prayer of Hannah, and she quotes from Exodus 34. It's obvious Mary spent time in the Scriptures. It's obvious that she sought the Lord in the reading of the Scriptures. And prayer is connected to the Scriptures. As we read the Scriptures, God speaks to us and speaks through us in that dialogue with the living God. The Spirit makes the Word of God come alive. And Mary shares this example over and over again of those 15 times, how valuable it was for her to be in the Scripture. George Mueller, amazing story of a man who God called to start an orphanage and to take care of orphans. And for many, many years, God provided food and provided the needs of George Mueller and the orphans. And it was all through prayer. He didn't ask for help. He didn't ask for money, but God came through. And his diary is an amazing thing. Sometimes they would sit down and not have anything to eat, but they would thank God for the food. And people would bring in the food, so, you know, for them to eat. God would take care of them. So he would start praying, though, not by asking God for stuff, but the first thing he would do is open his Bible and say, God, show me what you want to show me as I read. And then he would start the dialogue with the living God. As God would move him, as God would open up the Scriptures to him, and as they would come alive. Mary's example, whether you're a mother or not, it pertains to all of us. There is power in prayer. And her example is a wonderful example of a lady who trusted God. Now, I don't believe that she was, as some do, that she was supernatural or, you know, immaculate and all of that. But I do believe she was a godly woman. And God chose her for that task because she was a faithful lady. She's real. She was genuine. That's one thing I've loved about that new show, The Chosen. It shows biblical characters real, like us, genuine. You know, we preachers, I sing about, you know, some preaching, we have the cadence, preach amen, you know, and all that. And, you know, how ridiculous would it be if I came to supper and I said, Cindy, do you have the supper ready? Are we ready to divulge in the gift of God, the cooked meat and the wonderful aroma? You know, I mean, come on, give me a break. We don't talk like that and we don't act like that. God just wants us to be real and have a heart for Him. And we see that through prayer. We see that through Mary's prayer. And grateful for the moms who have been such examples of prayer warriors who have prayed for all of us. And so just encourage you, continue to grow in knowing God. And my prayer is hopefully that you've had a mom that exemplified that. I know I've been grateful for a wife that does. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Mary and her example. And I pray, Father, that you would draw us near to you, that we might walk close with you, that we might be aware of you. And Father, I thank you for the great example of Mary. And Father, may we learn from her. And I thank you for the godly moms that have impacted lives. And Father, I thank you for the godly moms that you are shaping and molding, and the moms to be that you are shaping and molding. And what a blessing that they are. So, Lord, we just ask that you move among us, that you do a work in us, and Father, that we might see Jesus in it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.